keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch a scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope. Yo man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio Show. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. Thank you all for coming back to us. We took a week off for the holidays. I was traveling a bit around Texas, Claire and I. We're out in Texas and, you know, doing some awesome work, actually, out with the Houston Freethinkers in Houston, and we were at the For the Community event. It was their 10th edition, and it was just an amazing event, right, Claire?
It was wonderful. The sense of community there, the diversity, it was just absolutely stunning, actually.
So they had something like 60 different bands playing, and then there was bunch of poets and all kinds of artists and vendors, and I gave a speech about freedom, you know, kind of a broad topic, I guess, but it was really interesting, a melting pot of ideas and people, and it kind of just went to show that, you know, a bunch of people with different ideas can get together and not fight, you know, and have a good time. And it was kind of like
imagine that, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like a little snapshot of an ideal world, I guess you could say. And you know, nobody died. No one. There were no drug overdoses. There were no fights.
No cops.
There were some disagreements. In fact, apparently, some guy walked out.
Sounds boring.
Yeah, exactly. Apparently, some guy walked out on my speech. I can't believe you guys let this guy speak here, and he just walked out. But I mean, I guess you can never please them all. I guess you could say. Anyway, make sure you join us here on the Anti-Media Radio Show Monday through Friday, same place, same time here on UCY.TV. You could also catch it on the radio tab on the antimedia.org. But we got an awesome panel here tonight to break down the news. We're also going to be joined by one of the awesome artists that we met at the For the Community event in Houston. And he's got some awesome politically oriented spoken word poetry. He also does rap music and that kind of thing. He's going to be joining us shortly. But we also have Claire Bernish in the studio. What's up, Claire?
Not much. I'm just recovering from Houston. I think that whole, like, happy glow is starting to wear off.
Well, hopefully it doesn't wear too far off.
No.
We're also joined by our longtime co-host, DB Schwartz. What's up, man?
Doing good, Nick. How's everybody doing over there? Snowing up here, sleety, slippery, cold.
Pretty good, pretty awesome. Yeah, we're expecting you to be a little bit late. Glad you're joining us right as the show started. I was in Texas all week because my mom recently moved out there. So after Houston, I stayed out there for a week. And, man, I only got one day of sunshine in 10 days. And it really kind of – I didn't realize it. But when I got back to San Diego this morning and I got some sunshine for the first time in a week, it really did – you know, it was really nice. Let's just
leave. Well, yeah. I mean, that's why you have those plastic balls in the water supply.
we're also joined by Jake Anderson. What's up, Jake?
doing well, doing better after that little reference DB just made to the balls. No, I'm doing good. I spend all day in a morass of trying to weed through a bureaucratic web portal for a court, superior court, trying to find some documents, and I almost lost my mind. But right at the nick of time, I found the documents I wanted, and now I just have to read through them all. Nice. So life couldn't be better, Nick.
I thought you were going to say you were signing up for Obamacare and that kind of thing, but
speaking of documents, did you see WikiLeaks is supposedly going to release cables where Turkey they basically make themselves look like they've been funding this whole thing, like they've been offered up on a silver platter. It's amazing.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about that tonight because that's very interesting. You know, Turkey's at the heart of a lot of this geopolitical mess that's going on right now and with Syria and ISIS. And, of course, they shot down the Russian jet. We're going to be going over that because I think that's very much, you know, probably the biggest topic in the world right now, because this is the kind of recipe for disaster that can lead to things like world wars, you know, and that's not what we want to, you know, that's not what we want to be doing right now. We don't want to be starting up world wars and allowing this kind of crap to happen. So we're going to get into that once we talk to our friend Pharaoh the Earthworm, and he's one of the artists we met in Houston, and I believe he's out of San Antonio, Texas. But we were really kind of taken back by his poetry and his music out there, and I think he's joining us now on the show. What's up, Pharaoh?
Not much, man. How are you?
Oh, we're doing really well. Just getting started here on the show, and we're happy to have you on.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, thanks, man. Once again, man, I really appreciate your work. I'm here with Claire, and she was there with me in Houston, and once we heard you up there, we were like, man, we got to get this guy on the radio.
Oh yeah, definitely. I loved your. Just your words are absolutely brilliant, and the way it flowed, and it's the kind of like joining of music and activism together that is just amazing. I think everybody needs to hear you.
Yeah, and we got one of your CDs, and we're kind of listening to it on repeat on our way to San Antonio back from Houston. I went and stayed for a week in San Antonio with my mom, who recently moved out there, and so that was pretty cool, and we got pretty familiar with your music. So I guess. If you want, you can start us off with a little piece of yours, and then we can go from there and talk a little bit about your music and your mission and how you got to where what you're doing.
Yeah, for sure. I guess I picked this one because I think it's definitely relevant. Whenever I was a little kid, I saw a movie called A Bug's Life, and A Bug's Life is funny because it seems on the surface like it's just a little kid's movie, but whenever I was 18, I watched it with my little brother, and then I kind of realized that it was way deeper than a little kid movie. So this piece here is just about a bug's life. So I saw a film called A Bug's Life back when I was 6, about this ant named Flick who could see through all the tricks of these evil grasshoppers using fear as a tool. To the rest of the colony, Flick appeared as a fool, but it was cool, because Flick was a free-thinking soul. He stood against adversity. This ant played the role of a revolutionary figure trying to take it back from the evil people fucking up the planet, trying to jack your freedom and your peace and your food every season. Since we are the 99%, there's no reason for us to be afraid of them. They need us to survive. It's no surprise that they try to divide everybody into categories. Race and religion are nothing more than tools that they use. People listen. This shit has got to stop. This is how the humans fall. It's time to take a stand and make a difference. It's your call. Will you be the change you want to see or die like a punk? Quit perpetuating sin and quit shaking the funk. And quit producing junk and pretending like it's music. If you think the point of life is cash, then you're stupid. All we got to do is change the way that we think. It doesn't matter if you're man, woman, purple, or pink. Treat a stranger like your brother. Put your prejudice aside. It's for you to decide. At least this kid can say he tried. There's a little random piece about
Bug's
Life.
Awesome. Yeah, that movie, you know, I feel the same way about that movie that you do, man, because it really is about rebellion, and it's about the people when they realize their strength, you know, and there's just...
Plus, yeah, dude, it really is, though. It really is, like, strength in numbers, and it's kind of incredible whenever you think about it.
And Joe Biden is no grasshopper.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. So if there's one thing I've learned in life, it's that ants don't serve grasshoppers.
Yeah, man, and you know, there's always these grasshoppers out there that want to hold us down. I mean, right now you got Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and all these assholes up there trying to do their thing, and unfortunately, unfortunately, you know, this rhetoric, a lot of people buy into it, but I think with art and activism combining and you know, you with your message and us with our, you know, radio show and our website and stuff, you know, we can kind of hopefully kind of bridge the gap and get it to the point where people can realize their power once again, because that's all it takes is just enough people to realize what's going on, and then they can kind of start making a breakthrough.
Absolutely. I fully agree with that. I think we kind of have like a responsibility to try and hold it down, you know, just make people aware, because I just don't think that people realize that they have that much control or that much power over their own lives. I feel like people kind of fall into little systems and then they just keep it going and don't even realize that they can be broken, you know?
Yeah, exactly, man. So Farrell, tell us a little bit about how you got into doing the, you know, the poetry and the music, man, because it is kind of rare to see artists out there that do have like a really solid message like you have.
Well, I mean, I started listening to hip hop whenever I was kind of like a little kid. I've been into hip hop forever. Whenever I was born, my dad was only 19 years old. And so I think that whenever parents are older, they have like sort of like a conservative filter that they put on, and they don't expose their kids to certain things. But whenever I was six, like me and my dad would drive around like blaring gangster rap, and like he took me to like go see The Matrix in the theaters. And like your average parent probably wouldn't expose their kids to that kind of material, you know, but my dad, he was too young to have that type of filter, and I'm actually really grateful for it. So I don't know, man, I just always really liked hip hop, and it was always in my life. And then I took a creative writing class whenever I was 15, and then I got really into poetry because of that class. And then by the time I was 17, I realized that my interest in poetry and my interest in hip-hop were, like, the same thing, you know what I mean? And then it was kind of a cool realization. I remember it very vividly. And I just realized that I had kind of been writing rhymes all along, and that my knowledge in hip-hop would put me in a position to actually write some good songs. It's like people from my community were just making a bunch of terrible music. And I was like, dude, I know how hip hop is supposed to sound, and because I've been listening to it since I was a kid. So I don't know, I just kind of got into it.
Hey, awesome. I have a question for you. This is Jake, by the way. I'm not too familiar with your music, but just on a kind of a everyday level, are you disheartened by kind of, you know, the prevalence of pop music, hip-hop music, but just all pop music that seems vacuous and doesn't address some of these larger issues? Do you have kind of run-ins with people, or do you kind of show mutual respect to people even if they're not dealing kind of with the same issues you are?
That's a good question. Like, in the beginning, I definitely had run-ins. In the beginning, I had, like, sort of a elitist view, like, with my love for hip-hop. Like, I felt like I wanted other people to be conscious, or whatever you want to call it. I wanted people to rap about issues, and now that I'm like a little bit older, I don't do that as much. But to be honest, dude, I think it's kind of a conspiracy. I know it's like a crazy word to use, but you know, hip-hop music was created by black people, and that can't be denied. It's a fact. And in the beginning, hip-hop music was meant to empower and inspire, and it was about art in every form, from dancing to graffiti writing to expressing yourself vocally, you know. And then over time, it kind of got watered down, but you have to ask why, and it's like the labels that were in power. Like, why were they only signing artists that talked about materialism and misogyny, you know? It's like, maybe, just maybe, it was meant to, like, break the movement down from the inside, you know? So a lot of times, I don't even necessarily fault people who fall into that trap, because, like, everybody wants to eat, you know what I mean? And if you're raised to think that that's what it is, you just don't know any better. And that's why I don't swing on the random rapper anymore.
That's a great point, man. We recently had, you know, because we've been making more of an effort to have musicians on our show, and we're hoping, moving into the next month or so, we've been working with an organization called 99.net, and they're doing a lot of work with finding musicians with a message. And so we're hoping in the next month or so to have, you know, a different musician on the show, like, every night, you know, and talk about some music for, you know, for a few minutes each night at least. But we recently had these guys on the show that were part of Tupac's original entourage, and they were actually talking about how hip-hop was deliberately co-opted following the Rodney King riots back in the early 90s. Just as you said, to kind of reflect more of a materialistic kind of shallow point of view rather than the activism music that it originally started out as. And so I think you're definitely accurate there, talking about a deliberate conspiracy to water the music down, because it was doing too much to unite people. It was bringing people together. It was giving a voice to a oppressed community and things like that. And I think that you're definitely correct there. So Farrell, quickly before we go to any more of your work, I know you have an album out there, and I'm sure people out there listening are kind of curious as to where they can find your work. How can people find you?
The best place is just on my website. It's just FarrellTheEarthworm.com, and Farrell is spelled F as in Frank, E-R-A-L, like a wild creature, and then TheEarthworm.com, just FarrellTheEarthworm.com.
Awesome, and I think they could download your album there, and then...
Yeah, it's totally free, and I write blogs, and I've got... I even was putting my dream journal, like from the dreams that I have at night while I'm sleeping. I even have a couple of those up. My website, I think it's kind of interesting. I've got like a bunch of different content up there, and it's all for free.
Awesome, man. Awesome. And then can people donate to you after they download your music?
Yeah, definitely. I have it set up as Name Your Price, and so you can pay whatever you wish. Or there's also like a section where you can make a contribution. And so, yeah, definitely if anybody's able to support, I mean, that definitely helps, because I'm not yet fully sustaining off my music, even though I'd like to be.
Yeah, man, and that's one of the things that's really lacking in the activism music world is the funding, you know, because it's not free to make albums. You know, it takes it takes money to record this stuff. And I know my friend, one of my other friends from the Free Thought Project that was there, in Houston, he went up and like donated some money to you and didn't even want an album. He was just like that impressed with your music, man. And
I really appreciated that. That show in Houston, like I was able to pay my rent this month because of the success of that show.
That's amazing. Really, man. It's amazing.
I'm really thankful to everybody who supported. That was a really incredible show.
Yeah, it was. It was mind-blowing. And like magical. we're sitting here, we're back in San Diego now. We're in California, out here on the West Coast, and all the other guys on the show tonight are from all over the country, but you know, we're still kind of reeling from that show, and it was just mind-blowing, and you know, it was a really good time. So before we let you go, is there any more work that you want to show us before you go?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote this one a few years ago, and I think it's probably my most political piece that I ever wrote, and so I can share that one with you if you'd like.
Sure, man, let's do it.
Okay. So... Evil killed the innocents. Beauty was corrupted. She left a trail of tears as the evil force constructed an artificial temple in the image of a tyrant. We labeled them as savages as soon as they got violent. But now they're called insurgents. Somebody tell me why. We have 700 bases in countries, but then we cry about the deficit. The debt will get bigger because the prisons are stuffed full of petty offenses. The tension's risen nonstop. Suck a cop trying to tell me weed's illegal when alcohol and cigarettes kill all types of people. What a stupid-ass policy, outsourcing labor. If everything is made in China, how will we be greater? Voter fraud takes place and your tax dollars wasted. Failing up a man to cut your job. Look up and face it. They're fucking us, and frankly, I'm not fond of how it feels. I'm tired of politicians making special interest deals. I tell it in the present tense. I've been a peasant ever since. The evidence suggested that the presidents were hesitant to represent the residents' intelligence is dwindling. A false flame is what this government is kindling, but people just don't give a shit. They're busy screaming YOLO. Is that an Abercrombie jacket? No, it's a polo. Who gives a fuck about your stupid little jacket? No wonder native people try to kill us with the hatchet. I feel spastic. Everything is plastic. What was I born in 93? I love the classics. Went into my room and burning candles was when I blasted. I need to do something drastic. I would love to get my ass kicked. Just for music, because I see what it can be. It shouldn't be dictated by these evil forces. We won't stand for this shit if you agree and throw your hands up. All I'm trying to do is fuck the devil's plans up.
Wow, man. Yeah, that was the one that I remember hearing, and I was just blown away out there, and I was hoping that was the one you were going to bring back up to us tonight.
I had to. That was the most in tune with the show, for sure.
Awesome, man. So once again, that's Farrell the Earthworm. You guys can find his music and the rest of his work on FarrellTheEarthworm.com, right?
Yeah, man. I'm just a 22-year-old Texas-based MC. I just love to write rhymes and contribute to the hip-hop culture as a whole.
Awesome, man. Thanks again for coming on, and we look forward to hearing from you again in the future.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I really, really, really appreciate the chance.
For sure, bro. So peace out.
Yeah, no doubt. See ya.
So anybody wanting to find him, go check out his website, FarrellTheEarthworm.com. He's also on 99.net. that's an awesome new organization being run by some of our friends, and it's really trying to connect music to activism and help us spread this message out there, which I think is something really important. Manny, what'd you think about that, man?
Damn, for a minute I thought I was on TMZ or something. Shit. like, what the fuck, you know? We're promoting artists now? Yeah, like, but, I'm doing fine. I'm fired. I'm still fired up, you know, but our slogan out there, you know, Black Lives Matter, not Black Friday, you know, just spending a lot of time down in San Diego, which is great. You know, a lot of movements going down there, and just I get fired up when I see these young people, you know, getting fired up about seeing some OGs coming from L.A. and stuff like that, you know, and it's just sooner or later, you know, need to start carrying the torch, you know, because, you know, I'm 55 and stuff like that. Thank God that I'm still with a lot of energy because my passion is there and stuff like that. But, you know, we sooner or later we have to pass the torch and stuff like that. And I'm really happy there's a lot of young activists out there that are really doing it to it and stuff like that, you know. So it's really, really good, you know. So big shout out to Brother Jake out there, Sister Claire. With big shout out down there to DZ Shorts and stuff like that. And, of course, welcome back to Chula Vista. Hope you didn't miss a lot of cops coming knocking on your door or something there, Mr. Mitch B.
Yeah, hopefully not, man. Hopefully they won't be barging down our door. I had a run in with the cops out in New Mexico over by Jake. Got a speeding ticket out there on our way to Houston, driving 22 hours. But
me and Jake, we went to Old Town, I think. I don't even know when I was there, what, 2-3 weeks ago. And there must have been like at least 30 cops chilling in the middle of the road, and it was a one-way street. So I had to go down. We had to go down the street, man. I mean, they are all over. That is a citadel.
Yeah, we hit pay dirt, man. We hit pay dirt. We got all the drugs. We got to take all the drugs. They confiscated all people that day. It was awesome.
Yeah, they're like, you guys look like us, so here, take all our
like, hey, property. Dude, what this cocaine we're going to ruin someone's life with? Go ahead, take it.
They're like, hey, man, you got Minnesota plates on your car? Go ahead, dude. Pass through. You're good.
Yeah, they kind of looked at me weird.
Hey, TV, Nick, did you guys see the picture on Twitter? And then I also put it on my cover.
No, which one was that?
That came out pretty good, man. The picture that was taken at the anti-media headquarters.
Oh, nice! Our group shot. No, I didn't even notice it. I've been so busy on my travels, and I was on limited internet. My over where I was staying with my mom, we didn't have any internet. I was using a Wi-Fi hotspot, so I had to like really use my time wisely online. It kind of sucked. It was nice to be back here in the studio and have unlimited internet and be able to just play YouTube, play music all day while we're working and all that kind of thing. That was kind of something that I was deprived of while I was out there on the road. We do have we're going to get into some of this news because, as we mentioned at the beginning of the program, Turkey is just going off the hook right now with Russia and Syria and all this geopolitics. First, we have a caller on the line from the 720 area code. You've been on there for a minute. Thanks for being patient with us. How's it going? What do you want to talk about? All right, we're dropping 720. Anyone else that calls in tonight, make sure when you call in to keep your microphone on mute and to turn your radio off in the background, and we'll come to you by your area code. And when we mention your area code, then that's your cue to speak. And you can talk about whatever it is that we're talking about at the time, or if you want to bring something else up, that's fine as well. The call-in number, if you do call in, it's 718-717-8296, or you can reach us on Skype at the anti-media, and we'll bring you in the order that you call. But with no further ado, let's jump into this thing with Turkey, because Claire had a great article that came out on Saturday and went pretty viral, and it's about these journalists over there in Turkey. There's three Turkish journalists that have been arrested now because they've kind of found out that the Turkish government has been funneling arms to rebels in Syria, and many people have speculated that these rebels are ISIS rebels, which is something that, as we've done in more and more research, has become pretty apparent, that Turkey is more or less arming and or funding ISIS in one way or another. And not only that, but a story that really was not covered by the media is another journalist, and she happened to be a U.S. citizen by the name of Serena Shim. She wound up dead in Turkey.
She's a hero.
Yeah, she really is.
She broke everything that we're now only that's coming to light now.
Yeah, and so she started finding out about this stuff almost a year ago, I think it was.
Over a year ago.
And she all of a sudden miraculously ended up dead. And it wasn't like James Foley where it's like, oh, you know, his head's cut off. Everyone, like, don't watch this video, but hey, we're going to show you all this video and we're going to go invade Syria because this guy got his head cut off. But, you know, that's how they treated one U.S. journalist. But this other U.S. journalist, they just completely ignored it. And her family still hasn't even had answers. And it just so happened that she had found some dirt on a NATO ally of ours. And Claire wrote a great article about it. What can you tell us about this?
Well, Serena Shem was a reporter. She had dual citizenship in the U.S. and Lebanon, first of all. And she had discovered that non-governmental agencies and perhaps even the U.N. were using their vehicles, taking arms and fighters from Turkey across the border into Syria. And it came out that this was likely ISIS-related. And about a week before she died, she suddenly was very concerned that she was being, the people that knew her were being questioned by Turkish intelligence. And I guess they were kind of threatening. They were saying that she was a spy and all these unfounded things, just trying to put, you know, fear into people. And then suddenly she was in a car wreck, hit head on, driving down the wrong side of the highway on an access road as if she was being chased. And at first there were no answers for her family, and then the Turkish government produced pictures of a cement truck driver that had hit her, and they had this story and all this stuff, but there are no answers. And the U.S. has not been any better with answers. And in press releases, press conferences, when questioned about it, the State Department pretty much said, no, we don't have any updates for you. No, we don't have any information for you. No, we're not really going to tell you a damn thing about what happened. And for all intents and purposes, it looks like she was intentionally killed by, you know, the Turkish government. But I didn't say that.
Yeah, and, you know, the more we find out about what's going on in Turkey, the more of a kind of awful scenario you start to see. Now, you got to keep in mind that there was a recent election there in Turkey. And what's his name? Erdogan. I don't know how to pronounce it. But
Tayyip Erdogan.
Yeah. He won re-election, supposedly, but, you know, coincidentally, right before the election, they went and took over all the oppositional media outlets. They started jailing opposition politicians, and, you know, so this election went off without a hitch, and they kind of, it was a very controlled election. They took over the media. It was very much rigged, more or less, whether they directly rigged the voting or they just did it through the media. They literally shut down media outlets and took them over and changed them pro-regime. And our government didn't say a word about it. You know, whenever this kind of thing happens in Iran or, you know, if this kind of thing were to happen in Russia or if it were to happen in any country that we consider to not be a democracy, this would have been like, oh my God, Venezuela is an oligarchy. They fixed their elections and they took over the media outlets and it's all state-run media. It's like, but when our ally, our quote-unquote allies do it in Turkey, it's like, oh, no big deal. You know, they assassinate oppositional political figures. They shut down oppositional media outlets. They literally take them over by the government. But it's not a big deal, and this election is completely legit. I shit you not. Like, all of the Western media is, like, considering this election to be legit.
And our change in policies, it's going hand in hand with a silent kind of policy coup taking place here. And a lot of people, I'm going to keep referring back to this. A lot of people don't know this, but the Federal Reserve is no longer a private corporation. It's now owned again by the United States government. And what we're seeing is the fallout of that. Essentially, ISIS, which was formulated by, you know, the traitors in our midst and traitors in Saudi Arabia and traitors in Israel and the UK. These people now are, you know, they're so embedded that it's hard to get rid of them, but they're being turned on, man. I mean, we're seeing it now. Turkey is being offered up to Russia. And if anybody thinks Turkey can fight Russia and win without NATO, you're going to see Turkey get carved into three or four mini states here pretty soon.
Yeah, they're going to get carved up quicker than Thanksgiving turkey. No pun intended there. But yeah, it is a very interesting thing that we see going on there. You know, these three journalists were arrested, and these are, you know, just Turkish journalists and well-respected, and they come from well-respected media outlets that recently won awards for their independent, you know, their press independence and stuff like that. And, you know, three of these guys are now thrown in jail. Some of them may face life, right?
Yeah, the editor-in-chief of the Cumhuriyet, I'm not really sure how to pronounce this paper, honestly, but the editor-in-chief and one of his top editors and an Ankara correspondent, they're being charged with espionage for basically discovering the same thing that Serena Shim discovered. And I think really the only difference and the reason that they are going to jail for possibly going to jail for life and not being killed on the highway is because they are Turkish citizens. So it's kind of like as if the government has to do that. They have to make this gesture.
Because it would be really bad PR for them to sit there and arrest a U.S. citizen and say, hey, you're going to go to jail for life for covering news.
Right,
you know, that would be really bad press, so they can't do that to an American. So the American just wound up dead, you know, mysteriously. But, you know, these guys, these poor Turkish guys that are just literally trying to, you know, do what a journalist's job is supposed to be, which is exposing what's going on. They're going to get. They're very likely going to go to jail for the rest of their lives for this.
Yeah, exactly. And when they were arrested, they even said, "Don't worry, these are medals of honor for us," because they were doing their job. They found, you know, they had footage of the same shipping process for all intents and purposes that we can tell that Serena Shim had, although her footage was never found, of course. And then this third journalist who was recently arrested is being, you know, charged with similar charges, and he didn't even mention President Erdogan by name in his criticism of the government, and he faces like over 5 years in prison just for this criticism of a nameless figure, which is rather astonishing. It's as if fascism is suddenly coming back and very swiftly, and I think that honestly we need to pay very close attention to this in this country, because it didn't take much for this to happen over there, and there's no reason it couldn't happen here.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, this is something to watch, because as DB mentioned, we're not really sure what's going to happen with Turkey and Russia. We don't know if they're going to be abandoned or if NATO's going to get dragged into this war, and which is something that we really don't want to see that happen, because that is really a recipe for World War III. This is the kind of thing that triggers these big wars, and it's something that we were warned against by, I think it was Thomas Jefferson, who said, you know, peace and make peace and business with all nations, no tangling alliances with none. Well, we didn't learn our lesson after World War I. That's exactly what happened. And literally one guy got assassinated. Was it Franz Ferdinand, mm-hmm. I believe it was? One guy was assassinated in World War I. It triggered an entire world.
People should also know that, you know, World War I really was the resurgence of the Spanish flu. So when you look at really how many people died in World War I, it's a much higher figure than people think. It's more like 100 million because of the disease that spread. So if people think World War III will be clean and tidy and kept in a proxy situation and the Middle East will burn and we'll be fine, that's ridiculous. There's already refugees here. There's people that are, you know, infiltrated within. And the next war will be the last war, so we can't let it happen.
Yeah, it won't be pretty, you know, and that's why there was such a hesitation for World War II. The American public was so hesitant to get involved in that, was because of all the fatalities and casualties that were taken in World War I, you know, and the people were just like, you know what, we don't want to deal with that again. We don't want to go through it again. Now, unfortunately, here in the U.S. at this moment in time, it seems like people have kind of forgotten about the longest war we've ever been in, which is Afghanistan. We're still entrenched in that, you know, the Iraq debacle, which arguably is what gave rise to ISIS to begin with. We're still involved in that. And the American public doesn't seem very war weary, you know, and they're so easily manipulated with all this fear mongering with, you know, the bombing in Paris and all that stuff. And this kind of ties back to Turkey, because now Turkey is in talks to become part of the EU, and they've just taken a major bribe deal, apparently what it looks like, and they've taken, what, $3 to $4 billion dollars in aid from the European Union to kind of wall in all of these refugees coming out of Syria.
Yeah, it's under the guise of being like a solution to the EU's quote-unquote refugee problem. But in actuality, it looks like a way to put a lot of tight controls over where the refugees can go and what they're able to do, as well as attempting to tie Turkey to the EU, which means Turkey would be even more beholden to our NATO alliance, which really does not have good indications for this upcoming likely war, the way I see it.
Yeah, it's.
I got a question for Claire. What's going on with supposedly Russia wanting to close the border with Turkey? What is up with that?
Well, it looks like Putin says that the Russian fighters that have been surveying the area have evidence, including something like, he said, trucks carrying oil for miles, like as far as you could see on the horizon, basically trucking this oil from Turkey into Syria for the ISIS fighters. And from what it looks like, Erdogan's son also has a deal supplying ISIS fighters with oil. So this is really yet another war about oil. Of course, you know, the press would never...
Surprise, surprise. Another war about oil. I thought this one was about civil liberties and giving people freedom, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, let's bring you some democracy.
Operation Iraqi Freedom. And that's what really gave us, it delivered us ISIS. And, you know, to give these idiots the benefit of the doubt, we can kind of say, oh, well, ISIS is just an accidental byproduct of you know, the invasion of Iraq. And no, we didn't see it coming. But according to other research I've seen, some of it on the anti-media by Dan Sanchez, a lot of this stuff with ISIS was actually anticipated. And they anticipated a quote-unquote Salafist principality in Iraq and Syria as a result of destabilizing and in order to destabilize the government of Syria and Assad and all that stuff. And it all goes back to this oil pipeline, petrodollar kind of geopolitical chessboard thing that we have going on. Ever since the fall of the Soviet Union, they've been trying to contain Russia and all that. And this is really what it comes down to, is this is ISIS and the whole... all the rebels in Syria, and a lot of course, they're not all terrorists. A lot of them are moderates that didn't like being under Assad's rule, and that's definitely, there is an organic movement there to go against a dictator. There always will be, just like there was in Libya and just like there was in Iraq. But, you know, the U.S. goes in and taints any organic movement with their meddling and with their CIA ops and all that stuff that they do to try to accomplish their geopolitics.
But it should also be noted that just like any other propaganda that we're fed, according to a lot of sources, Assad really wasn't all that bad. Like, no, we wouldn't want to live by his standards, but for all intents and purposes, I mean, like, women had a lot of equal rights. There were a lot of things that were going
religious
great about
freedom
his,
and
there were a lot of things that were wrong with his government, but there were also a lot of things that were right and that were actually innovative for that particular region of the world.
Yeah,
so
Assad is what you would call a secular dictator.
Exactly.
You know, he's a dictator, but at the same time he allows his citizens a fair amount of rights and that kind of thing. And sure, there is an organic resistance to that, and obviously, from an Islamist standpoint, they wanted to have much more of an Islamic government, and that's why you see the rebels doing what they're doing. That's why you see ISIS doing what it's doing, and that's what their push is all about. And unfortunately, the U.S. is kind of backing that, and you can, you know, the U.S. makes the argument, well, we're against dictatorships. Well, that's not exactly the case, because we support dictatorships in many places like Saudi Arabia and the Sunni states and other places that
South
have
America.
Awful dictatorships. You know, we support those dictatorships. We've installed dictatorships in plenty of places, including in Iran and all over countries in South America. So we don't necessarily oppose dictatorships unless it's economically or geopolitically convenient to U.S. policies and U.S. interests. And that's exactly what we see going on in Syria. And so that's why we have to be very wary of what's going on there. And Jake, I know when you you had this really big article recently about the deep state, and I know you're also working on a video on that. But in that article, you also made a mention about Turkey's deep state. Is there anything more you can tell us about that?
Yeah, it's actually what I learned from it. Extensive, which is why it only occupies about two sentences. And in fact, someone actually responded to the article with, like, well, you didn't say enough about Turkey. so I need to go more into that. Essentially, they go about things, it's more just like overt criminality with the Turkish deep state. They don't seem to have kind of polished mechanisms of collusion between corporatocracy and state that would allow these things to actually be legally done. So it's more of just like Gestapo tactic.
Yeah, Erdogan is much more blatant, and his rise to power is pretty documented. In fact, he was jailed back in the late 90s, I think it was. He was thrown in jail back in the late 90s because he was an extremist. An Islamist, and he's got out, and now he's consolidated power, and he's punished the people that were kind of secular back in those days. He's jailed them and had them sacked, and over 300 different people that he had thrown in jail because of it. And now he's very much Turkey has very much turned into a fascist dictatorship. Sure, they still have elections, but their elections are rigged, and their media outlets are controlled.
So they're like us.
Yeah, pretty much. And I guess that's why NATO doesn't really have a problem with them, even though NATO claims to be this huge force for good and force for democracy. They openly collude with Turkey, and they've allowed Turkey or according to some claims, NATO instructed Turkey to shoot down the Russian jet because Russia was starting to disrupt that ISIS oil supply line that was going into Turkey, supplying the world with cheap oil and supplying ISIS with a bunch of funding.
Because Russia was actually targeting the oil supply and the oil fields more, and actually probably almost exclusively, than any other member of the coalition.
Exactly. And, the U.S., when the U.S. reluctantly finally did bomb some of those ISIS oil trucks, they actually dropped leaflets about, 45 minutes ahead of time. Yeah. They dropped leaflets over the trucks and said, Hey,
we're going to bomb you.
We're about to bomb you guys, so get out of your trucks. And so then the ISIS guys that were driving the trucks were able to, they had advanced notification that the bombing was coming. And, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, this is just
a farce.
Yeah, you really can't make this stuff up. We're working on a big article. I think it'll probably be out tomorrow night. That's going to be documenting all of this stuff going on with Turkey and ISIS and Russia and all this thing. But it is something to keep an eye on, because unfortunately the fate of a lot of our brothers and sisters here in the U.S. and around the world is going to be tied in with whatever transpires over there with NATO and Turkey and all that. And so that's just something that we're keeping an eye on, and we're going to be covering it extensively tomorrow. And, I don't know. It's just very frightening times, and it's sad to see that we're willing to risk so many lives, and how many have already died in Syria and have been displaced just because of this stuff. And of course, Russia we can't take the heat off of Russia, because they're also on the other side of things. They're the counterbalance to U.S. policies, and so they're propping up the government of Bashar al-Assad, and Russia has a major interest in keeping that government around, because if he falls, then we get our pipeline, and that cuts Russia out of Europe. Russia doesn't want to be cut out of the European gas trade, and that's why they're supplying and propping up Assad. And so they're equally to blame for what's going on over there, as well as U.S. policies. So what you see is these two decaying empires still vying for their economic interests, and they're not, they're not really giving a damn about all these innocent Syrians and Iraqis that are dying in the process.
The migrant crisis is enormous, and I'm kind of sick of the attitude in this country with people kind of deriding migrants and refugees wanting to come. All they want is safe haven. They would not need that from us or from anyone else in the world if we weren't over there bombing the shit out of their country.
Exactly.
I wish people understood
exactly.
That.
And that's one thing we have to keep in mind, is this refugee crisis has been manufactured by the United States, NATO, and Russia. We all have blood on our hands for this migrant crisis. And there are valid concerns about the refugees coming across and them being infiltrated with extremists and that kind of thing. The vast majority of them are not extremists, but is there some extremists infiltrating them? Sure, I bet there are.
But also, refugees are screened more tightly than any other group coming into this country, more than asylum seekers, more than travelers, more than any other group. Refugees are screened very highly. So to use that as an excuse is also really not valid.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Yeah, you know, one of the things we need to be stopping is, basically we need to stop the violence and we need to stop the hate, It's just like I was saying about, recently being at San Diego State, where a young lady gets attacked because she's Muslim, you know, for no other reason than she's Muslim and stuff like that. And so, to me, when people talk about them being terrorists or being whatever, I don't see nobody stopping the KKK, you know, the Ku Klux Klan, but I don't see nobody also talking about the Blue Klux Klan, you know what I mean? You know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we posted an article on the Anti-Media Facebook page today. It's a few months old, but it's about how right-wing extremists in the United States, in fact, mostly white terrorists, actually kill a lot more people than Muslim terrorists. And the cops actually kill way more people than both Muslim and right-wing extremists combined. You know, so we have to look at the facts and be realistic about it. We can't buy into all this incendiary rhetoric coming out of Donald Trump's mouth, blaming all Muslims, and Ben Carson saying he doesn't think a Muslim should be able to hold political office. I mean, the United States was built on religious freedom, and now these guys are talking about throwing all Muslims into a database. And Trump even said, you know, he even doubled down, said even more than just a database. We should do even more than that. Carson was saying that no Muslim should hold office. I mean, these guys are completely going off the rails here, and in my opinion, very fascist in their ways. And it's not surprising looking at, you know, the West, what's going on with NATO, Turkey, France now. You know, France had that Paris terror attack recently, and now they've gone full-blown fascist. I don't know if you guys have seen what's going on in France, but they're having these climate talks right now, and there was a bunch of protests planned. And because France is under this three-month state of emergency following those terrorist attacks, they're using that as their excuse to literally put activists on house arrest in France to stop them from going out and making protests.
Without a court order, without warrants to search their homes.
No due process.
Yeah, no due process. The due process is on hold in France right now.
Yeah, and all those people out there with the France flag on your profile picture, you can take that off now, because now France is full-blown fascist. They're not doing anything good. They're over there bombing now in Syria. They've bombed a bunch of civilians too. So everything France is doing now is completely going down the fascist route. It's a really scary rise in fascism that we're seeing all across Europe, across the United States. I mean, Trump's still carrying over 30% of the Republican opinion, and that just goes to show that there's a good chunk of the population in the United States that believes in fascism. You know, rising.
This is a lesser example of fascism, but I just heard this today, and I kind of want to write an article about it. But evidently, Trump issues specific directives. He has a security force, and he literally prevents journalists from approaching the people at his rally when they go to the bathroom. He wants to keep them separate. He literally does not want the press to have the ability to speak to his supporters. Obviously, he knows how idiotic and crazy and fascistic they sound, and he does not want that getting out there.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. DB, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, man, it's a sign of the times. You know, I think we all have older generation people that are siding with Trump misguidedly because they're afraid of, you know, irreversible change happening. I'm here to tell you that it's already long past that point. And if we want to salvage anything going forward as far as us being maybe going back to a republic or whatever the next political process may be, that's what we're fighting for now, to go backwards, to take a step backwards, and to give into this xenophobia, this paranoia, and honestly putting your trust into a guy that's literally everything wrong with our entire economic system is just ridiculous.
We had this funny meme that went up by the guys from America Today on the Anti-Media that said that Donald Trump is the comment section, and the bad comment section come to life.
It really is true. I mean, like, some of the comments are terrifying. And it would be easy to actually do exactly what they're doing and kind of turn and maybe hate these people or hate what they stand for. But you have to understand, too, that they're maybe just falling for the rhetoric. It's like they're letting their fear overcome them.
It is fear, yeah.
This is really a warning to our country. I'm telling you, like, looking at Turkey, looking at France, there's no reason that some of this stuff can't happen here. And Trump and his followers, and even Carson and his followers, are a prime example of how easy it would be for us to slip into that.
Yeah,
well,
definitely.
Fear is really bad, because I even saw it firsthand, being in San Diego County. being very conservative and very Republican, a lot of people get scared, you know, when they see somebody chanting Black Lives Matter. You know what I mean? It scares a lot of people. I see people's eyes. I'm very observant about seeing that and stuff like that. And it's kind of sad, you know, because it just, fear creates more hate and stuff like that. And, you know, and hate has never solved the problem, you know, once, you know, so.
And also, a lot of the older generation are afraid of reprisals and payback for slights that were done, you know, the generation before them or even before that. And you have the media and you have these, you know, the governing body dredging this stuff up and creating, you know, things out of thin air. Is there a problem in our country with racism? Absolutely. Is it what it is and how it's been blown up by the media? I don't know. I honestly am so far out of that spectrum with friends of all colors, creeds, races, religions, it doesn't matter. But I can see how if you grew up in the 50s or the 60s, it's a scary time right now with all this diversity.
Definitely, Matt. Oh, yeah. And, you know, candidates
like that. Talking about diversity, I want to just mention, you know, I want to send some love out there to all our brothers that have passed away and are suffering of AIDS, being well, that day AIDS tomorrow and stuff like that. So I want to throw it out there.
Yeah, you know, and candidates like Trump really bring up these old sentiments out there, and there's this great article on the fifth column called "Religious Extremists in America," and it's kind of one of those bait and switch articles where they frame it up as one thing and it's another. So I want to read you a couple of the quotes, because what they did is they went through some of these Donald Trump support groups. And what they did is they pulled out some quotes from some of the comments, but they replaced what they were saying as if it was a Muslim saying it. And so I'm going to read you some of these quotes. "Christianity is a cancer on the planet. We need to act to do whatever it takes to close Christian churches. The ends will justify the means. This is a call to action." Another quote. "Definition of being a Christian, somebody who goes to live in other people's countries but refuses to integrate with or tolerate their way of life. At the same time, they demand we tolerate them. We would never, ever want to be in D.C. The devil is there." That one's actually true. "Sounds like somebody could nuke D.C. and not have to worry about collateral damage. Our fighters are Allah's armies. Shame to waste good heads. Would feed them to the hogs. Nice big claymore on the gate might be a better way to keep the infidels out." Now, these are all comments that the people on the fifth column, they replaced it and made it seem like they were Muslims saying this. But in reality, these were Christian people, or at least people that claim to be Christian, saying these things about Muslims. And so there's really a huge fear factor there, and a very reactionary population, as DB was mentioning. And Trump is unfortunately bringing this fear out of people, and it's being expressed all over the internet. I'm sure anyone with above a second grade reading level can read these comments on some of these posts from these conservative news outlets and see this, you know, overwhelming fear and hate and just reactionary tendencies that are going on. And people are literally saying that we need to burn down mosques. We need to, you know, surveil all Muslims, put Muslims into databases. These are people that think that they're fighting for freedom. I mean, this is it's so misguided. It's crazy, because the United States was supposed to be about religious freedom and supporting people's right to do what they want to do. Even if it's different than what you believe in.
It's a worldwide sentiment right now, too, this, like, kind of, Islamic fear. Like, the Muslims are coming. Oh, no, save us all. I mean, it's ridiculous.
And, guys, let's just, you know, hope against hope that there is not some kind of even bigger attack on the U.S. right now, because you're talking game over at that point. Martial law and permanent. I mean, I honestly think it would be, you know, similar to what happened to the Japanese in terms of the detainment and you know, the internment. I think there'd be internment camps for Muslims. Well, I really do.
Isn't that what they build all those FEMA camps for? That all these quacks were scared that dissidents were going to get thrown in there. They're not going to jail a dissident. They're just going to get rid of you. But for a huge portion of the population, to keep them imprisoned and then charge the rest of the country like they do right now with private prisons, that's a win-win for these sick fucks.
Yeah, it really is. And there's already politicians out there. In fact, we covered it on the anti-media last week, I believe. There's already politicians out there. There was a guy from, was it Langley? No, not Langley. Somewhere in Virginia. One of these mayors was actually saying, hey, we need to start activating these camps, and just like we did with the Japanese back in World War II, we should start throwing Muslims into these things. I mean, politicians are already saying that, and this is not a joke. These are mayors of big cities already saying this kind of thing. So there definitely is a huge fascist tendency rising, and it's gotten me to the point where I'm ready to leave the country if I start seeing it get too bad. I mean, fortunately, here on the West Coast, people are a lot more open-minded, and I think the West will be the last to fall to this kind of thing. But I think New England is very ripe for this kind of thing. Even though people up there claim to be open-minded, I think the groupthink and the kind of herd mentality can kick in at any time. As Jake was saying, the next big attack. I mean, we saw this massive rise, and this is after it happened in France. Since when do Americans give a shit about France? When do we give a damn about the French people? We don't.
No.
We Americans in general can't stand the French.
Yeah, don't forget about Freedom Fries after 9/11.
They were our biggest enemies after 9/11. We despised them because they didn't hold our hand while they were just like, no, you guys are lying sacks of shit. We're not buying it. We're like, oh yeah, we'll see if we ever do anything for you again.
See if we ever buy your potatoes again.
Yeah. Your potatoes suck, France, you know.
Yeah,
now all of a sudden, of course, you tickle the terrorist itch, and all of a sudden you give people meaning in their lives. Oh, we have something to be scared of. We have the world suddenly solidifies into place as this black and white struggle of good versus evil. I want to protect my kids. Something must be done. And that kind of vitriol and groupthink and pathology spreads across us, and just 100 people killed in Paris, and obviously we all condemn it. It's terrible, but imagine another 9/11 here at home. I mean, it's just unthinkable at this point. But we have to psychologically prepare for it, and we have to fight that war ahead of time, because once it happens, it's going to be straight up thought crimes.
And it's going to be Grid X. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. No one would ever outright attack us, because the retaliation would be, you know, obliteration for any country or even any really group that would attack us. So we're going to have EMPs over our atmosphere, and it's going to be grid down, man. That's the way they've been preparing for years.
Yeah, and you know, after seeing the reaction here in the U.S. after the whole France thing. You know, as Jake was saying, just imagine another 9/11 happening here in the U.S. I mean, this is you know, fascism ready. It's ripe for the taking right now with candidates like Donald Trump. You know, and we all, you know, as we've been saying here on the anti-media, Donald Trump isn't going to be the nominee. I kind of misjudged his support. You know, Trump is the only guy out there in the Republican Party that is actually pulling organic support, as awful as it is. You know, as bad as his rhetoric is, he's the only guy that's tapping into the white anger out there in the Republican Party. And it is really scary. But, you know, the Republicans would never let this guy actually become president. And so what we're going to see, you know, and this is what's going to be really a test of what's going to happen in the near future. You know, we're going to see the election robbed from Trump. The delegates are going to, you know, go for the Republican delegates are probably going to elect Rubio or one of these other establishment figures, and Trump's going to get screwed. And then what? You know, all those people that voted for Trump are going to be like, oh, this is bullshit. They're going to be, you know, with the pitchforks and all that. And I don't blame them on that end of things. But, you know, the next 9/11 happens. To me, it's like just ripe for the taking. Fascism, Patriot Act. It's going to make post 9/11 look like child's play. And it's going to be really time for people that actually know what the hell's going on to either hunker down and really start making plans to figure out their next move or to get the hell out of the country. And I'm definitely, unfortunately, on that boat of trying to get out of the country sooner than later, because I don't want to stick around for these Muslim detainment camps to pop up. We've already got them going on at the border with the refugees coming up from Latin America. And we fail to look at the We fail to look at history. We fail to look at blowback. You know, we wonder why all these Muslims are fleeing the Middle East. Well, obviously, we've been over there bombing the shit out of the place since the 90s. You know, and that's just looking at the short term. The war in Afghanistan, the multiple wars in Iraq, and all these things. It's driving all these decent Muslim people out. They're coming here, and people are here are scared that they're going to do something bad. All the people from Latin America coming up, because we've been over there doing all this imperialism for so long, the drug war and all that thing. You know, people need to look at their history and be a little more realistic with their outlooks and understand why these things are happening. Otherwise, we're never going to learn.
Good night, guys. Man, no kidding. Well, hey,
thank you all for tuning in. Peace out. Anti-Media Radio, 5 days a week.